Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
What do you do if your grandfather's a legendary scientist, your dad's a wrestling champion and a physician, your mom speaks seven languages and has broken three world records in karate, and your pet bunny is nasty and vicious? Well, you become a teenage opera singer, of course. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. We're at the Wortham Theater Center in Houston, Texas, where we'll hear that young baritone sing Schubert, and a 16-year-old from here in Houston perform a violin showpiece on the cello. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Thanks to our host, Classical 91.7 FM, for bringing us back to Houston. We're helping Houston Public Radio celebrate its first anniversary of broadcasting on two stations, an all-news and information station, the venerable KUHF, and now All Classical 91.7. Congratulations, y'all. We're also excited to be back at the fabulous Wortham Theater Center, an enormous home of the Houston Ballet and the Houston Grand Opera. And we've got a pretty grand show for you today, packed with Houston talent. There's the cellist Joanne just mentioned from here in Houston, and the 15-year-old pianist who's going to play Liszt for our flashy finale. And to start the show, we've got this rather large and rowdy bunch of Houston-area kids. That would be the 82 members of the Houston Youth Symphony. With their artistic director and conductor, please welcome Michael Webster. Michael, appropriately enough, you're starting us off with an overture. Would you please introduce it?
Well, this is the Leonore Overture No. 3 of Beethoven, which he wrote for his opera Fidelio. And he was so dissatisfied with the earlier versions that he ended up writing four overtures for this opera in total. And I and many people think Leonore No. 3 is the greatest of the four.
Maestro, when you're ready, please take it from the top.
Thank you.
The Houston Youth Symphony, under the direction of Michael Webster, performing Beethoven's Leonore Overture No. 3 from Fidelio. We're going to talk to three members of the orchestra now, bassoonist Jordan Brocken, 17 years old, and violinists Gabriel Mafuz, 16, and Megan Faw, 18. Really great performance there, you guys.
Thank you
for starting us off so nicely with that. Really, what a great band you have there. And a happy band, too. Actually, Gabriel, when we asked you what your favorite thing about this orchestra is, you had a very surprising answer.
Yes. Well, every concert cycle, we have something called chair tests, and that determines what position we'll be playing in the orchestra. And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, we're all really relaxed, surprisingly, even though it's like another audition. But we really have a lot of fun laughing at our own mistakes.
And everybody in the orchestra is there with you, or everybody in your section?
In our section. Yeah. It's really a great environment. And I mean, yeah, I really have a lot of fun in the chair tests.
Fun, my gosh. Auditions, the cutthroat orchestra world. Jordan, I would think that that would be hugely competitive and stressful, but you think the chair tests are actually helpful to your development as a performer?
Absolutely. Something as musicians, well, someday, assuming, you know, everything works out, we want to get a job someday. So an integral part of winning a job is the audition process and learning how to deal with that stress and such. And, you know, being in HYS, we have four auditions a year, three placement auditions and a orchestra audition. And through all those auditions, we get to learn positive experiences to channel our, you know, nervousness into performing better, basically.
And preparing and being in the moment.
Absolutely.
And having all your colleagues there, my gosh.
Yeah, having cookies after.
Oh, well, now we'll get to the important things. Yes. Okay. And the orchestra is not only a supportive environment, it's an extremely social one, with the cookies, obviously. You three demonstrate that very well. You're incredibly good friends. Jordan, you and Megan in particular.
Yeah.
How long have you known Megan, Jordan?
4 years this past Wednesday.
Four
I guess
years,
that's our
yeah.
anniversary.
It was our anniversary.
And Megan, you went to homecoming.
This past
this year.
Fall.
This past, yeah.
Right.
It
you
was
have
fun.
This, and Megan, other social rituals you have with Jordan?
Well, for the past 4 years since I've known Jordan, we've talked on the phone every single night before we go to bed. We usually talk about our day and, you know, how life is going. And I remember when Jordan was a little younger, he liked to play his bassoon for me a lot and just basically show off.
No, you would play too. Come
you
on.
Made me play.
Yeah.
Gosh. So, homecoming, late night pillow chats, playing the bassoon on the telephone. Tons of time together. I don't mean to be too intrusive here, but you're going out, right? Fair to say?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know. I've got to say that the evidence I'm hearing would suggest that you two are an item. Joanne's back with the orchestra to do a little digging. Joanne?
Okay, Chris. So I've got Scott Legere here in the brass section. Scott, are Megan and Jordan going out or what?
Well, I mean, I've known Megan and Jordan for 4 years now, and they have to be going out. There'll be days where they just talk to each other the entire time, even during rehearsal. And, you know, you'll wake up and check Facebook in the morning, and you'll just see that Megan and Jordan had, you know, an hour, 2 hour long conversation at like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Wow.
I would say they're dating.
Maestro, your opinion on the subject?
Well, all I can say is if I were a violinist, I would never consider dating a bassoon player.
Thank you, Megan and Jordan, for letting us tease you a bit. But wait a
no
second.
No problem.
Gabriel, didn't you go to the prom with Megan? Is something going on between you two?
No. That boy-girl thing, that doesn't fly with me. It's not my cup of tea.
Okay.
we're just sparkle sisters.
Okay.
We have matching sparkly mutes.
There you go. You know, sparkly mutes. Yeah.
Gabriel got them for us for Christmas.
What can I say? No, but in all seriousness, I am gay, and I'm a little bit of a gay rights activist.
You're a real activist for gay rights. Talk about that, please.
Yes, I'm a student media ambassador at the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, where we work to provide and create safe environments that are inclusive for all LGBT students, regardless of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression. I get paid every time I say that. No, I'm just kidding. And, you know, I mean, the orchestra is a really great environment, too. I mean, they're completely supportive, and I've never had a negative experience in the orchestra.
Well, you're all great kids, and great work there, Gabriel. And thanks all for a wonderful opening to the performance.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Jordan Bronken, Gabriel Mahfouz, and Megan Faw, members of the Houston Youth Symphony.
Did you know From the Top is a dynamic Facebook community, as well as a YouTube channel with behind-the-scenes videos? Get connected. Go to fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
And the celebration of young classical musicians from here in Houston continues with our next guest. Please welcome 16-year-old cellist Charles So. Charles, while I head back over to the piano, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We will be performing the Zugrunerweisen by Pablo de Sarasate.
Charles So, 16 years old, our cellist from here in Houston, performing Zugrundweisen by Pablo de Sarasate. Charles, you performed that piece with such gusto, and it isn't easy even on the original instrument it was written for, the violin. But on the cello, you've got to be crazy.
Yes, it's so hard. And I decided to play this piece after watching a video on YouTube. It was my private teacher, Brinton Smith, playing Zugrundweisen. And after I watched it, I was just simply amazed, and I knew I had to play the piece someday. But it's just so hard, especially the fast passage at the end. It's filled with difficult things that were meant to be played on violin, like left-hand pizzicatos, false harmonics, double stops, everything.
I know, and those violinists work up a sweat, and there you were playing it with total aplomb and complete with your bass clef bling on your collar there.
My mom made it last night.
Very nice. That's so you can help, you know, find the notes, I guess, with the clef there under your eye. No, just so fleet and so effervescent and effortless. I'm going to prefer it on the cello from here on in, thanks to you, Charles. The technique required to nail this piece isn't the only challenge for you. You also find it hard not to laugh while you're playing it?
Yes. This piece, the beginning of this piece, is actually played on a lot of Korean TV shows. So whenever I play this piece, it just reminds me of those scenes, and I have to control myself from laughing.
So game shows, variety shows,
yeah,
news
like comedy,
broadcasts?
Even soap operas.
Wow. And lest our audience should doubt you. What the heck was that about?
It was just a regular talk show, and this random lady, like, had a bad habit of eating something disgusting. Like, she ate, like, cow intestines or something.
Oh.
So this music is played whenever there's something like shocking or eye-opening.
Yeah, I see. And you get the residuals every time they play it. The game shows aren't the only addictive ones, are they? The most addictive are what?
They are the soap operas. Mm-hmm. My family and I love to watch them. My mom especially loves them, but the thing about them is that once you start one, you have to finish because they have a cliffhanger at the end of each episode. And it's just so frustrating, and you're just dying to know what happens next.
It's like who shot JR every week, I guess. Your mom's a musician, right?
Yes, she majored in music, and she's a pianist.
And your dad, too?
My dad was actually in the military band, so he knows how to play a lot of instruments, like clarinet, trumpet, flute, saxophone.
Wow. So they must be very happy about you pursuing music.
No, not really.
No?
Well, I've actually decided to major in music last summer when I went to a camp called Metal Mount. Before I went to that camp, I only practiced 1 or 2 hours a day, but at the camp, I had to practice 4 to 5 hours every day for 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to be really painful, but it wasn't. I found it really fun. And I studied with Hans Jensen there. He gave me a lot of good advices, and he told me that I had a really good talent and that I should pursue music.
I think you should pursue music, too. I think these Houston folks think you should pursue music.
Yes, my family and I argued a lot, and finally I convinced them. Do you know what I said?
How?
I said, my Korean name is Chanyang, which means to praise the Lord with music. with music. My family, my parents made me that way. So.
It's clearly a divine plan.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. Anyway, Charles, fantastic performance. Thank you for being with us, and best of luck to you. Charles So, 16 years old, from here in Houston, Texas. Our next performer takes us out of Houston, out of Texas, and up to the St. Louis area. Where are you from, Shelby?
I'm from Waterloo, Illinois.
So that's just across the river from St.
Yes.
Louis. So you look longingly over to the arches there. Everybody, meet Shelby Nugent. She's a fine 18-year-old French horn player, as you're about to discover. Shelby, please introduce the piece we're playing together.
We will be playing the first movement of the Horn Sonata by Paul Hindemith.
So Paul Hindemith wrote for just about every instrument you can name. But there's a little bit of a story about this piece. When was it written?
Yes, this piece was written in 1939, kind of right before the breakout of World War II. It was written sort of during the German industrial age. And this piece, it has two very distinct characters. My teacher always told me it's steel. The one character is hot steel and then cold steel. And it's a really nice piece for both the horn and the piano because it displays the characters very distinctly, yet there's still a connection between them. And there is emotion in it, but not the touchy-feely emotion you would assume, you know, for a horn piece normally.
Not a sentimental piece, an industrial piece.
Yes, industrial.
Very good. All right, let's have at it.
Thank you.
Shelby Nugent, 18 years old, our French horn player from Waterloo, Illinois, performing the first movement of the Horn Sonata in F by Paul Hindemith. Thank you for bringing that, Shelby. We've never had that on the show before. It's a formidable piece and formidably performed. You come from quite a small town, which I guess can be good and bad. What's the good part about living in Waterloo, Illinois?
The good part is it's a very secure town, not a lot of crime, very wonderful school districts, and it's, you know, nature, it's a farming community, so it's always been, it was a good place to grow up.
And what about the bad part?
The bad part can be, one good part, you know a lot of people, but the bad part can be you know a lot of people as well. And it's a very hard place to get away from people. And one time I decided that I did not want to play horn in the band at graduation. So I told my band director I had something else to do. And so I was in this restaurant with my friend during graduation while I was supposed to be getting ready for the performance. And I said, oh, wouldn't it just be so funny if Mr. Mullins, my band director, walked in right now? And not 5 minutes later, Mr. Mullins walks in to this restaurant. And I pulled a Jason Bourne or a James Bond, what have you, and I ran out the back door and I hid in an alley. And there's not a lot of alleys in my town either, so I was lucky I found one. And I hid there for about 20 minutes. So that can be a downside, knowing too many people.
That's great. I love that.
Yes.
The horn ultimatum. But wait, that behavior doesn't match the nickname you have earned from your friends. What's the nickname you've earned?
Well, the nickname that I've earned from my friends at school is the 50-year-old woman. And I guess I can credit myself part of that's because I'm a very mature for my age. But I think most of it is because I'm very cautious. You don't do that, you'll get hurt. I don't stay out late. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I listen to NPR.
Actually, Shelby, that would make you about 70 years old.
Maybe.
Shelby, you obviously need real help. But it is true, you can't be called a party girl, like even at the prom. Did you know any of the songs that they were playing at the prom?
No, sadly I did not. No Hindemith.
No Hindemith, no Beethoven.
No.
You're completely lost.
I was completely lost.
So no fun, and did you stay out late at least?
I couldn't. I had a rehearsal the next morning that I had to wake up for, so I made my friends go home early with me.
My gosh. You're just a hugely dedicated musician, that's all. You'd like all music all the time. Isn't that really what you'd prefer?
Yes, definitely. Music is, it's, you know, my favorite form of communication, and it's a way to remind everyone or distract everyone from the bad things happening in the world, to remind everyone that the world is really a beautiful place. And that's, I think that our whole goal as musicians is to, you know, not sugarcoat everything, but to express yourself in a beautiful way.
That's very good. The truth and beauty of your performance came to the fore, and folks here in this small town liked your small town ethos as well.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us, Shelby.
Thank you.
Shelby Nugent, 18 years old, from Waterloo, Illinois. Shelby is a student in the preparatory program at the Community Music School of Webster University in St. Louis.
The annual From the Top Gala is right around the corner. If you like what you hear on our show each week, you'll love what you'll see in person. Join us in Boston on May 22nd for a unique and unmissable evening. For details, go to fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
Thank you.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the energy of America's kids and the power of classical music. This week, we're coming to you from the Wortham Theater Center in Houston, Texas. Coming up, Liszt's La Campanella, performed by a 15-year-old pianist from here in Houston. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Our Houston performance is made possible by Houston Public Radio's All Classical 91.7 FM. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next performer is a terrific 17-year-old baritone. As a special treat for him and for us, I asked a friend of From the Top, the great American soprano Audra McDonald, to introduce him. Audra is presently starring in a stunning new production of Porgy and Bess on Broadway. I talked to her before yesterday's performance about her life in singing, starting in a local dinner theater at the age of 10 in Fresno, California, adding classical training as she prepared to go to Juilliard, and now having this amazing career that spans both worlds. Audra, you've made a career out of just such an amazing amalgam of making the stylistic commonalities between musical theater and classical technique. I mean, did you have sort of an ideal of how to mix these two? I mean, what's your process?
Any artist's greatest strength comes in, filtering whatever material they're doing through their own being and their own soul, which is what we're all doing anyway. But and that, I think, for me, it meant stop trying to imitate other singers. Mm-hmm. I don't have to sound like Barbara Streisand. I don't have to sound like Callas or Franey or Leontine Price, mm-hmm. or Sarah Vaughan. I can still communicate a truth and, an honesty about whatever material it is that I'm singing. But I had to learn to love my own sound.
Beautifully put. For a young classical vocalist about to go to conservatory or to college, what sort of advice would you give regarding the makeup of his or her training? Let's say that they're thinking of pursuing both. Do you think they have to toe the line, or do you think there's a way to go about trying to get it all?
You know, I think a lot of, conservatory life is, or, college in general, is breaking down who you thought you were and discovering who you really are. So I think I would say stay open and learn about as many styles as you can. Mm-hmm. Trust your instincts and trust your own voice. Even though, I was in a very sort of very regimented conservatory, I snuck out and did musical theater in the summers, mm-hmm. because my instinct was telling me this is where your passion is. Mm-hmm. And then I'd go back and learn more about, technique. At the time I felt like, oh, I'm being a bad girl. I look at it now, it's like, no, that's trusting my own instinct and staying open to your education.
Absolutely. Audra, it's fantastic speaking with you. Would you do us the honor of introducing our next performer?
Sure. And now from Pittsburgh, New York, 17-year-old baritone Aaron Beagle.
Not too shabby being introduced by Audra McDonald, is it, Aaron?
It's quite an honor.
Quite nice. I want to tell our listeners they can hear my full interview with Audra McDonald by visiting our website, fromthetop.org. So, Aaron, tell us what you're going to be singing and a little bit of the backstory about this song.
I will be singing Krieger's Ahnung from the song cycle Schwanengesang by Schubert. And the song is about a soldier finally sitting down with his comrades after a day's, a month's, a year's battle, and reminiscing about the love that he has, the love of his life that he's left to go to war. And this warrior's foreboding, as it were, kicks in. He becomes more and more frantic, worried, and eventually comes to the conclusion that he will probably not see the love of his life ever again.
Thank you.
Aaron Beagleisen, 17-year-old baritone from Pittsford, New York, singing Krieges Ahnung by Franz Schubert from Schwanengesang. Aaron, I was going to say, I'm so sorry we don't have more Schubert on the program, but clearly there are very few people who can really do it as masterfully as you can. It's just such a pleasure to play that with you.
Thank you
for bringing it. And you come from an astoundingly, crazily accomplished family. Let's start by telling us just about your mom.
Well, my mom graduated from Oberlin with her degree in piano performance and then UC Berkeley with her degree in French. She speaks God knows how many languages. And she has 3 world records for breaking bricks.
It's not a masonry degree, that's karate,
yes.
I take it, yes.
So it's impressive and frightening, too.
Daunting, yes. And she's a good chef, I hear.
Yes, she had her own catering business. She's cooked and worked in many restaurants, and I know that every night I can come home to the 4-star restaurant.
Wow. And then there's your dad.
V is the parameter of a Maxwell distribution. F of V equals 4 over pi to the 1/2, integral of chi squared e to the negative x squared dx, and f of V ranges from 0 to 1.
It's easy for him to say. What is he talking about?
Ask him. I would have no idea. That formula was one that he used to calculate the orbit of the Jupiter rocket in the mid-70s.
He was personally responsible for that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. He was a physicist, and then after receiving an injury while training to wrestle in the Olympics,
by the way,
decided he wanted to be a physician. So now he's an anesthesiologist.
He just puts them to sleep with those formulas, I guess. But that's not all. Your grandfather, Jacob Beagle Eisen, was a hugely famous scientist as well.
That's right. My grandfather was the father of isotope chemistry and actually worked on the Manhattan Project.
Wow, amazing. I would think that your family's accomplishments would put incredible pressure on you to become a scientist or a linguist or an athlete or a chef. But luckily, you've got some major singing going on in your family, too. That's your Uncle Ira, I guess.
Yes. My uncle was an opera singer. He sang at the Met and Carnegie Hall and then decided to become a cantor.
And you two are traveling to Germany in a couple of weeks, I take it.
That's right. He was invited to sing for the International Cantorial Society in July in Germany, and I was invited to sing a piece with him.
That's great. So you go to Berlin, Munich.
Yes.
Salzburg, my gosh. Well, your impeccable German will stand you in good stead there. As influential as your uncle has been, he wasn't the first person to inspire you to sing. Who was that?
My sister, Evie. She sang as a classical singer in high school, more specifically. And the first time I heard her sing vibrato, full voice, the only thing I could do was go up and hug her. It got me so excited.
That's quite gratifying. Singing is so much of who you are, Aaron. On top of everything else, you founded a glee club. Let's hear a little of that. Sorry, the wrong sound cue.
No, that was the right one.
Really?
I founded the Gun Lovers and Environmental Enthusiast Club. My school is an all-guys school, and so, you know, we like to go hiking, hunting, shooting, things like that. And I didn't want a bunch of hooligans in the club, so I called it the Glee Club, and I founded it, so they believed it.
It's a little old bait and switch. The baritone starts the shooting club. That's great. Okay, one more silly story to prove you're just a normal guy. Talk about your rabbit, Stoopy.
Stoopy. Stoopy was probably the most evil rabbit I've ever met. And I haven't met too many, but I hope I don't meet another like him. Stoopy was our pet rabbit when I was a little boy, and he would attack me every chance he got. He hated me. And the only thing I could do to calm him down was to sing to him. So I learned early on the values of being able to sing.
He would actually take every opportunity to bite you in the ankles.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So instead, Stoopy was cowed by the power of music, and now he hugged you after that? Or no, he just kind of kept his distance.
I kept my distance.
Okay. Well, Aaron, really just a stupendous honor to sing that song with you, and thank you for being with us, and congratulations.
Thank you.
All the best. Aaron Beagle Eisen, 17 years old, a baritone from Pittsburgh, New York.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Our final performer of the day also lives here in Houston. She is a 15-year-old pianist named Esther Liao. Please welcome her. Esther, I know you're not only a talented young pianist, you're talented academically as well. Math, I guess your average is 100. That's not too shabby, right?
Yes.
Is it an easy subject for you, or?
Much easier than other subjects.
Is it the commonality between math and music, do you think?
Definitely. When I first started learning math, it's probably because I started learning piano at the age of 4. And at the time, all like counting beats and seeing the speed, calculating the speeds of the pieces was very, very interesting to me. And music was like a cake, where the frosting was the melody of the piece that caught everyone's attention, but the inside were just all those complex rhythms that held the piece together. And so in third grade, when I started learning about fractions, about like half and a quarter and eighth, I thought those were really, really similar to half notes, quarter notes, and eighth notes, which really explained the terminology in music for me.
Esther, would you introduce the piece you're going to play?
I'm going to play La Campanella by Liszt.
Great way to end our show. I want to thank all our great young performers and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Esther, please take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with David Forbes and John Servies. Orchestra mix by Ryan Edwards. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.